you guys are attending the REACH conference next week, in a couple days. And can you tell us about, you're actually presenting there, so that's a cool thing. So what's your presentation all about?
So we're talking about the changing credit union workplace. Of course, you know, we're very interested in workplaces for financial institutions and credit unions. But what we're talking about is, one, the changing nature of work. So how work has really changed for credit unions. And then, two, how can they incorporate some strategies into design so that they can really respond to those changes. And here's the thing. You know, credit unions, they operate in a legacy world. So day in and day out, they have the mission of serving their members, providing financial, you know, products to their members. That, you know, but they may operate in that world, but they exist in a really dynamic and rapidly changing environment. Mm-hmm. So they exist in a world of financial disruption, and things are changing, and they have to be able to keep up with that change. So they got to keep operating on one side, doing the day in, the day out, but they have to be able to evolve and compete. And so what we're really challenging people to do is, you know, think about, you put together this business strategy, maybe it's your 2020 vision. How do you go from that 2020 vision into the right workplace? And I think what's in the middle there is your workforce and understanding what kind of workforce is it going to take for us to deliver on that strategy, and what kind of workplace is best for that workforce, and how can that workforce, how can provide them the tools they need to help the organization innovate, evolve, create, grow.
Cool.
So yeah, it's very interesting conversation, exciting for us. We, you know, love to talk at that level with our clients, but they're really all interconnected.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's another thing that people really don't think about, you know, unless you're embarking on something, a big project like that. You know, I think it's a talk like what you're going to provide there that will spark some, like, kind of outside the box thinking. You know, it's like, hey, you know what, let's consider this type of stuff, especially based on what we just talked about, wellness in the workplace and the dividends that it can pay. It's like, why? I mean, it just seems like such a no-brainer.
It does. Yeah. I mean, you know, ask yourself, okay, we have this strategy. Okay. One, well, what kind of work, what workers do we have that are going to help us get there? And what areas, what talent do we need to help us get there? And maybe look at your own, you know, what's the average age of my workforce? Who's retiring? How am I going to get their knowledge transferred down to these other folks on my team who are I'm going to need to help us execute on this strategy? And it goes, you know, you can ratchet deeper and deeper into understanding that team you need. And that really does quickly translate into space. I mean, a big piece of it is recruiting and attracting talent. And I'll tell you that buildings are a big part of that. So
yeah.
You look at what you can do to attract talent. Number one is salary and benefits. Number two is the culture of the organization. But number three is the physical workplace. And if you take the physical workplace plus the culture, those together actually exceed salary and benefits. You got to start thinking, okay, well, what is it about workplace attraction for a new employee team? So,
first impressions.
It's totally first impressions. So, okay, say you have someone on the hook and you think you have talent that's going to come work for you.
Yeah.
You have an aesthetically, it's actually down to aesthetics, an aesthetically pleasing workplace. They are twice as likely to sign on with your firm. And if you have a workplace that makes you look to be forward thinking and modern, the word is actually modern,
yeah,
they're three times as likely to sign on.
I totally get that. So if it's a comfortable workplace and it's looking good for the future, then you're all in.
Right. And if they're promised you a corner office versus a forward thinking and aesthetically pleasing workplace, they'll take the forward looking workplace because it's an embodiment of the culture. It works together with the culture. If you have somebody who people are siloed in offices, maybe it's very corporate, very cold palate, you know, grays and, you know, just not forward thinking, it's not stimulating and it's not exciting and it doesn't look like a growing or evolving culture to that talent you're trying to attract.
Yeah, indeed. So, now that said, I mean, how can a credit union take their strategic plan and turn it into a workplace plan?
Well, you know, again, so I kind of dipped my toe into this, but start by really taking your strategic plan, understanding your workforce, and what kind of workforce you need. You know, okay. Ask yourself those questions, right? Then number two is look at the shifts that are going on around you. And I think we may have talked about these shifts before, but really technology, demographics, globalization, natural resources. So the impacts of the cost of fuel, for example, and just general societal impacts are all affecting the work that you do. So you need to take those and overlay them on your workforce and say, okay, well, how will these things work together? And how can we modify, or how can we craft our future so that they can work together to a net positive as opposed to net negative? So for example, if you're thinking, well, part of your strategy is to grow your market. Okay, well, you're going to need people. So you think, okay, well, we need people who can sell, they can provide financial advice and sell loans to grow our market. But we're also in an area where there's really a lot of traffic. And as we expand our market, how are we going to be able to cover this larger market? Well, you can bring in technology, and as you grow, create more richer video technology, perhaps between your branch and your home office, and find ways so that people are actually able to communicate through technology rather than having to drive back and forth to the
office. Hear, hear.
Okay, so those are two ways. And then the third is really to build agility into your plan. So what I mean by that is make sure you have the operational processes and the culture in place so that you have a staff who's agile and who is able to provide quick and instant feedback to each other and really open communication.
Okay, okay.
But what's been shown is that if you try and just bring on an employee team and give them training, it doesn't work, it doesn't stick unless you have the type of organization where people are actually providing really open communication and feedback on how they're working together. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Totally get it.
That was in last month's HBR. They've proven that corporations spend billions of dollars a year on training, which doesn't work because they don't have the organizational structure in place that just allows people to learn and work with each other effectively.
Mm-hmm.
So that stuff in place first, and then you put the training program in place.
Gotcha. Makes sense. All right, Mark, let's wrap up here. What's the impact a workplace has on recruiting? What's the impact that workplace has on recruiting talent? Because we already talked about, you know, that first look, that first impression.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's it. I mean, you know, it's not number one. People want the money. They want salary and benefits.
Sure.
Your workplace is a physical embodiment of your culture, and employees get that first impression, and that really gives them a quick idea if you're someone they want to work with.
Yeah.
So, IDEO, if you're familiar with them, you know, very well-known company around the world, and known for just having a really excellent corporate culture. Well, they built a new workplace just a couple years ago, and for them, they needed a workplace that was a physical embodiment of the way they work. So they weren't going to allow it to create some sort of false hierarchy of space so that people, the more space you have, that means the higher you are in the totem pole. They wanted people to really understand through the space how they were working together, and that's through visibility and access to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And just cues to help them understand that this is a place where they can innovate and communicate without judgment, you know, without judgment from sort of, corporate big brother who is micromanaging their
Right. Or even the intimidation factor, you know, if you go into like the executive's office and it's like this big library, it's like, oh, you know?
Right. Yeah. And you have no reason to ever go to the executive floor unless you're in trouble, right? You know, finding ways to really break that down. And because organizations are trying to get flatter and flatter.
Yeah.
They're trying distribute the ability to make decisions out to the wings because you can grow faster that way and you're more effective that way if you don't have centralized decision making.
Yep. Goodness gracious, Mark, always an education. Anything else to add to wrap up here? I think we've covered quite a bit here. This is really good stuff.
Well, I hope to see you next week at the Reach conference.
I do my best.
A great one. That's really we're going to go ahead and we'll post that presentation on our website too.
Okay, sounds good.
Takes this discussion in a more maybe cohesive package people can take a look at.
Okay, very cool. All right, Mark, thank you so much again. Always an education chatting with you, and look forward to the next one. All right,
you
keep
too.
Up the good work.
Thanks.